This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I remember my first pregnancy. I remember both pregnancies, but I remember my first pregnancy. And I remember the first time I felt movement in my belly. The first time when the baby is pretty small, it sort of feels like gas. There's like bubbles. It feels like a butterfly. And now I understand that not everybody in this room has had that experience. But even if you don't have kids yourself and you've never been pregnant or can get pregnant or have that experience, you have been someone's baby in the belly, right? None of us got here without being the baby. And I remember as the baby grew and it would roll around, you could see it move across my belly. Do you guys remember that movie, Alien? Yep. It kind of looked like that when the alien was coming out of the guy's abdomen and it would like move around. All of you have been the alien baby in someone's stomach at some time. And I remember it was fascinating at the same time and incredibly uncomfortable. I always thought that I'd have like 5 kids because I love kids. I had 2 pregnancies and both of them were very easy from what I understand. 2 deliveries, very easy from what I understand. But what I didn't like was being pregnant. This thing invading my body and moving all the stuff around to make room for itself, which I also learned they don't stop doing, doesn't matter how big they get. They continue to move around and make room for themselves. But today we encounter these 2 women. Now, women don't get a whole lot of you know, front of the house sort of speak in Holy Scripture. But today we have this very important story. It's a story of Mary, a very young, probably naive. She would have been a teenager, pregnant. She wasn't married, which would have been a very faux pas in her community in those days. It would have been scary to let anybody know, even for her and her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. And she finds herself pregnant. Now, she's been told by an angel that this will be the Son of God. And so she hastily goes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. Now, her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. But Elizabeth, as we would say in the South, she's on up in years. Elizabeth would be considered too old to be pregnant and having a kid. And Elizabeth is pregnant as well. Pregnant with John the Baptist, who we've talked about the last couple of weeks. So it's the story of 2 women who are unexpectedly pregnant, and yet at the same time, they are both caught up in wonder. They're caught up in wonder and awe about this amazing thing that has happened to them. Now, I'm sure that they were filled with fear and worry. And as people in their communities learned about their state of being with child, there might have been some community gossip. But when Mary shows up to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth's body is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the child in her womb, again, John the Baptist, leaps for joy. So she has that feeling that we get when we can feel it inside. There's something happens, and the child leaps for joy. And now Mary, this young, unwed girl from Nazareth, and again, if we remember the town of Nazareth, the saying is, can anything good come from Nazareth? So here we have a young, unmarried, pregnant girl from Nazareth. All the world's, you know, sort of things are working against her. And she shows up, and there she encounters her cousin Elizabeth, who is thrilled. And it's through Mary, this young woman, that God enters the world in human form. And in that, the encounter between Mary and Elizabeth is also deeply human. Mary finds out she's pregnant. She realizes that the world is going to work against her in this moment. She has heard from the angel, right? It's okay, Mary, don't worry. But she needs to find that support and encouragement. How many of us need that in our lives? So she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Who are the people in your life that in the worst of circumstances you can go to and they will be there? We all need a cousin Elizabeth. Maybe you have the opportunity to be a cousin Elizabeth to someone in your life. Mary encounters Elizabeth and she is seen and understood and supported, and they're both celebrating these unforeseen pregnancies that don't make a lot of sense. And then Mary sings a song. Now, in our scripture readings today, we heard the song as Canticle 9, the song of Mary, which actually comes after when Elizabeth blesses Mary and she goes, "Blessed are you." And Mary sings this song. And it's a prayer of thanksgiving. But it's also a declaration of God's justice and mercy. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices. He has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this generation, all generations will call me blessed. She proclaims that the proud will be scattered, that the powerful will be brought down, that the lowly will be lifted up. She sings that a world that is hungry will be filled, and those that are rich will be sent away. Those that are rich because they've manipulated the others will be sent away. And it reminds us that God's love, this love that is entering into the world in Jesus, is not about sentimentality. It's not just about the cute baby in the manger. That this entering of the world is a force that will turn the world upside down. It's not passive. It has power. It will disrupt unjust systems. It will reorder our human priorities. And so when we hear this Mary song, this young girl afraid and uncertain and encountering her cousin Elizabeth, who gives her love and support and encouragement, and she sings this song, "You're right, Elizabeth. This is this wonderful thing that has happened in my life and for the life of all those who will come after." She sings a song that challenges all of us who long for comfort. And the challenge she sings this song for all of us who long for comfort. She goes to seek comfort from her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said, "Girl, you don't know what's coming, but I'm here for you." Mary sings a song, and what she does in that song is she challenges all of us who seek comfort, but those of us who seek comfort without change. Her whole life is about to change. And she sings a song of comfort. She longs for this comfort, but she knows that for it to happen, there has to be change. You see, because true transformation, God demands this transformation. True transformation comes. She has surrendered her life to the work of God. So while we may long for comfort, we may desire, we want to be comfortable, but we don't want to change. And Mary's song tells us, if you want to be comfortable, you're going to have to change. Because God is constantly calling us to be transformed. And in that, God demands our surrender. So more than anything, this story of Mary and Elizabeth and the pregnancy, this is a story of surrender. A story of surrender. And so we're challenged today to think and reflect, what are we being called to surrender? How has God made your life pregnant with possibilities to make a difference in this world? And in that, what is God calling you to surrender? Now, you may have heard or know the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Now there's more to this prayer, but that's the crux of what it means to surrender. It is a prayer of surrender. What does that look like to approach life like Mary did? Completely surrender all of our comfort, all of our knowing to God. This journey, as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, is a constant journey of surrender. And life will continue to ask us to fight against, to push against, to pull against, trying to make it the way I want it to be, trying to do it my way, trying to create my thing that I think, even in the best way, what is it God wants me to do? I'm going to do it. And over again, we are called to surrender. Now, I don't know about you, but fighting against the idea of surrender is far more exhausting than when we finally find the will to surrender. If someone were to ask me today, what does it mean to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus? I would say two very important things in my mind. The first one is it means a life of surrender. This life is not my own. It belongs to something and someone much greater than myself. And the other is freedom. There is freedom, my friends, in understanding that truth. There is freedom in the prayer, Lord, help me to accept the things I cannot change. But God, please give me the courage to change the things I can. Surrender and freedom. These are the two calls that we learn from these two women today that find themselves in very difficult circumstances and yet at the same time are able to praise and glorify God. Now, granted, they had angels that came and said, don't be afraid. We don't always get the message that clear. We don't always get the angel that says, you know, Christy, I know it doesn't look so good right now, but trust me. But again and again, God is calling us to trust and to surrender all of the powers and the unjust of the world, to surrender them over to God and to do our due diligence to walk in the way of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, just like our opening prayer, I love this idea in our opening prayer for today. Purify our conscience, it said. In other words, we got to let go of all the stuff that's in the way. Purify our conscience with your daily visitation. The story of Mary and Elizabeth is called the visitation. It is the celebration of the visitation. And we're saying here today that God is visiting us daily. God is constantly, daily visiting us and calling us to surrender. That your daily visitation, that your Son Jesus Christ has come, that when we encounter that truth, may you find in us a mansion prepared for yourself. Now we think of a mansion of the billion-dollar houses that are on the water with way too many bathrooms that anybody could ever use. But what they're saying is creating the space so that there may be so much room in my life for you to enter in. This, my friends, is what the season of Advent is all about. Continuing to create space so that we encounter the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas. There is room for him to take up home in our bodies, to take over like in our guts and in our hearts and in our souls, and to fill our body with the Holy Spirit, to fill us up with the love of Jesus Christ. May this Christmas, as Jesus comes and finds us again, and we get to revisit again and again this beautiful story of something so ordinary happening to create something so extraordinary, may we continue to find a way to build a mansion, to surrender all of those things in our life that are so overwhelming, Surrender them over to God, that we may surrender the things we have no control over to God, but that we may find courage to address the things that we can, so that again and again we continue to open the doors of the mansion and prepare ourselves to welcome the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.